All right, this morning we're in Ephesians 6, so we're trying to deal with the rest of that passage. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and in doing that, I'll kind of remind you of a couple of the points that we got last week. I did mention that we were in a spiritual war. We're in a cosmic war, a spiritual war. Spiritual beings are fighting against us just as much as flesh and blood beings fight against us. And what happens in one realm, spiritual realm, affects the material realm, and vice versa. These spiritual beings, they use men and women to create political, social, economic, religious systems that tend to oppress in order to war against the saints of God. That's the message of Revelation. That war is ongoing. It's an enduring war. It's something that will go into the end of time until Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, returns. And then when He comes again the second time, it's to put an end to this war once and for all. He will judge His creation in righteousness, and then He will consummate the ages with the creation of new heavens and new earth, a world where only righteousness dwells forever. So let's look at this passage here, Ephesians 6. Let me start back again at 10, but our verses that we're focusing on will be 13 through 18, but when we start at 10, that's where the break is in the chapter. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, this is where we start this morning. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand or to remain standing. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. How about we do that? Why don't we open this section here in prayer? Father in heaven, we ask that you would draw near to us and help us to understand this passage. Help us to love you through Christ Jesus, our commander-in-chief. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to hear what's being communicated individually to us and corporately as a body. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 13, you saw that. Put on the full armor of God, right? And so the first point here in this message, Benjamin, this will be the next slide. The first point here is that you are to dress yourself for battle. Dress yourself for battle. You are in a war. You're in a spiritual war against these spiritual forces. You need to have that spiritual armor on. You can't be complacent. You can't say, well, I'm not going to dress up. I'm not going to participate. Because if you don't dress yourself for battle, you may be mortally wounded right off the bat. Because the truth of the matter is that you will be attacked. You will be attacked, and you must stand your ground in Christ Jesus. That's the next point here. That's right in verse 13 and 14. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. You see, the devil is after you as a Christian. He's not going to stop. He will attack you. You must dress for battle, knowing that, and then stand your ground in Christ Jesus. Remember that he says here in 14, stand firm then. So three times he's saying this in 13 and 14. Stand your ground after you have done everything that you can. Remain standing and stand firm. So there's an admonition here for us to stand firm, to be prepared for the spiritual battle that is a part of this warfare against God and against His saints, who will be attacking you from every direction. So we need to know how to stand and with what to stand. And this is where Paul outlines this in verses 14 through 18. Know how to stand and with what to stand with. You know, before we get to this next point, just about delineating some of the items, think about Paul and his situation. Remember when he went to Jerusalem and he was testifying there to the Jews that were part of the early church, and they wanted him to, you know, pay for the vows of these men that had kept themselves for a time and to present himself with them in the temple courtyard. And he did that, and he got himself into trouble because the Jews that were unbelieving, they said, well, there's that fellow that's been causing all the trouble. And so there was a big riot that fell out, and who came to rescue him but the Roman procurator and then the soldiers. Very familiar with soldiers, Roman soldiers. And then, of course, he's arrested, and he's guarded by Roman soldiers. He's put in prison for a time. He's got Roman soldiers that escort him to Rome on the ship. So he's very familiar with how they are dressed and their attitudes and what they do. So knowing how to stand and with what to stand with, he applied this using the analogy of their armor. So this first point, then, under this would be referring to the belt of truth. Remember he said that? Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Another way that they say it in different translations is gird up your loins with truth. Remember we saw in that film where the man was lacing his sandals there and they talked about all of those undergarments that were underneath the clothing, and that's what they girded themselves with. And the belt held things tightly together. The belt wasn't the thing that kind of held it together. So the point that Paul is making here is that we need to gird ourselves with truth. We need to gird ourselves with Christ Jesus. He's the truth. Remember that famous verse that we've all got memorized? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He is the truth. He is the truth. So we should not be girding ourselves or wrapping ourselves up in untruth. We need to be focused upon the truth as it is in Jesus. That's how we're to prepare for the battle. That's how we're to dress ourselves. This next item here is the breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness. Put it in its place. So protect your heart with Christ's righteousness. This is what Paul is communicating here in the item of the breastplate. He calls it the breastplate of righteousness. It protects you from blows to the heart that are lethal. Now think about the heart for a moment. The heart really deals a lot of times with that passion we have within us, that emotion that we have within us. We need to learn how to protect our heart against the emotional battles that we go through every day, every week. Sometimes we never feel good enough for the Savior. We just don't feel good enough. That's an emotional battle. That is a battle that the devil is pitching against you to try to bring you under and make you ineffective and like a cold ember pulled away from the hot fire. That you never feel that you are good enough for God. And again, see, what are you focusing on? You're focusing on your good, being good enough, rather than upon Christ's good that is sufficient. It's His righteousness that we are clothed with. Our righteousnesses are as nothing in God's sight. It is all about Jesus and His righteousness. So when you start fighting some of these emotional battles that the devil pitches against you and you feel that you're never good enough, you tell the devil to back off because Christ is good enough. Christ's righteousness is good enough. He fought and died for you. He is your righteousness. Sometimes the emotional battle is that you can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive yourself for a sin that you've committed or just the lifestyle of sin that you've carried on. That's an emotional battle. That's the devil trying to suck you down the grade again and cause you to focus upon yourself rather than upon Christ. Maybe you feel like you can never break free from sinful addictions and it depresses you. That again is a tactic of the devil. He wants to depress you. He wants you to focus upon yourself and your needs rather than the deliverance you've received in Christ. So you need to protect your heart. You need to protect your heart with Christ's righteousness. He is good enough. He has forgiven you, and He has broken the power of sin and addiction over you. Trust in Him. The next thing that is in the inventory here. Feet shod. Remember how was it praising it? Feet shod. I always thought that was funny. He didn't talk about sandals, although that's what was being laced up. But he said feet that were shod with the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. Your feet are ready. You're ready to go anywhere. You know, imagine trying to fight a battle in your bare feet against people who have cleats on. I mean, imagine Sunday football, and somebody's out there, and they're not wearing any cleats. I mean, the feet are the first thing you would go for. Every time a football player loses his helmet, they stop to blow the whistle because the head is an open target. So it's the same thing with the feet. Well, at this point here, really, Paul is saying, be ready. Be ready for Christ's command on the battlefield. Have your feet already prepared. Put those sandals on. Lace them up. Don't walk around with shoes that are untied. I sometimes see that with young people. You know, that's a cool thing. Walk around, your laces are out. You can't fight with bare feet. You need to put your cleats on. And you do that so you can avoid traps. You can avoid the slippery slopes that are there. And you are ready for Christ's command. Whatever he wants you to do, you are instantly ready because you are alert to Him and you are moving forward in Christ, not backwards. You are advancing as a soldier of Christ. Be ready for Christ's command on the battlefield. Next item in the inventory, shield of faith, right? Take up the shield of faith. I love this picture up here on the wall of these Roman soldiers, and they've got their shields locked together. This is one way that they were able to extinguish those darts that were being hurled at them. Darts that were on fire, and they were able to protect themselves and move forward and take the position. So the point here is that we are to follow their shields together for support. It's important that it is called a shield of faith. It doesn't work. The shield doesn't work apart from faith. The shield won't work in your own human strength, your own power of reason, your own power to get things done, your ability to do things. This shield to extinguish those fiery darts that the devil throws at you only works by faith in Christ. You need to learn how to wield that shield in faith. You see, he was the trailblazer. He was the one who went through in the front of the formation, and he blazed the trail. He is the author and the completer or the finisher of our faith. That's what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 2. He's the trailblazer of faith. So if we want to know how to carry our shield, we need to learn to carry it like Christ Jesus. See, everything here in these accoutrements, these items that they're wearing, everything points us to Christ. Everything. Belt of truth, he's the truth. Breastplate of righteousness, it's his righteousness. Feet shod with the gospel of peace, he's the one who brought the good news of peace between us and God, and we're ready to follow this command. And it's also the shield of faith. So everything points us to Christ. We need to see him. We need to trust him. And again, the shield is only effective in faith. It's almost like those, you watch those movies and Thor puts down his hammer and, the one who's worthy can pick up the hammer. And, even the Green Hulk can't go over there and pick up the hammer. Right? It's the same way with the shield of faith. No one can pick up that shield unless they are born again, believer in Christ Jesus. They can't pick it up. It's impossible for them to carry it and to use defensively. The next item in the inventory, this helmet. Protect your head. Protect your head. Christ Jesus saves completely. We had talked about the breastplate where it was an emotional battle. The devil also likes to pitch intellectual battles. Headshots are almost immediately lethal. So you have to protect your head. And this is why we wear the helmet of salvation. It's Christ who saves us. So again, pointing to him. It is his salvation that covers our head and protects us, even when we are assaulted intellectually. Let me give you an example of that everybody knows. We talked about this a year ago, Billy Graham's partner in some of the early crusades was Charles Templeton. And he didn't believe in the gospel anymore, and he died on his deathbed as one denying the faith. And the reason that happened to him is because he started reading all of these arguments, all of these liberal arguments, and he started buying in to the arguments and the presuppositions, and it took him down a pathway that led straight to destruction. I had, in my own experience, a professor in Bible college who was a wonderful professor to us while we were there. I would never have suspected that he didn't believe, but I connected with one of my college classmates about 5 years ago, and he said, "Did you hear about Dr. So-and-so?" And I said, "No, what happened?" He said, "Well, he died." And I said, "Man, he was such a great teacher for us in college. Don't you agree?" He goes, "Yeah, but did you know that he apostatized from the faith?" I said, "No, you're kidding me." He goes, "Yeah, and he's got a whole website that is opposing Christ. He's gone completely in the other direction to where now he's got a website where he denies Christ, denies the substitutionary atonement, denies all of those things." You see, the intellectual battle that happened for his mind go down the path of destruction. So we need to wear the helmet of salvation and protect our head from these intellectual assaults that we will experience in our lives as Christians. Beware of those intellectual fights. The Lord said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19, I will frustrate the intelligence of the intelligent. That's in 1 Corinthians 1:19. Not many wise have been chosen, verse 26. So protect your head. Christ Jesus is the one who saves you completely. Next one is the sword. The sword of the Spirit. You must know your sword. You must practice with it. And then you have to engage the enemy with it. The sword of the Spirit, verse 17. Now listen, you can only practice so much before you need to get out there and do it. Use it. The war is coming to you. Learn how to use that offensive weapon, your primary weapon, which is the Word of God. It's very clear there. Paul says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That is our offensive weapon against the devil. And he will use scriptures to parry with you. He will use scriptures against you. You have to know your scriptures better. And the only way you can do that is to be in the Word. The only way you can do that is if you are with folks who are talking about the Word. As we break that open, as we communicate. I mean, this is why Sunday school and our Sunday evening is so good for us, because we're discussing it. We're not just up here listening to a message. We're actually discussing the text. We're learning how to use our sword. We will be faced with those who will come and attack us with Scripture. I remember reading an article recently about same-sex marriage and how they were using the Scriptures to justify that same-sex marriage was okay. And it is shocking that they would use some of Paul's letters, because usually they say he was a homophobe, and so they shy away from Paul's letters, but they were using two or three of Paul's letters, and they were trying to justify it, but they were skipping the chapters in the same letters they were using, where clearly Paul said that that lifestyle is not something that Christ smiles upon. It's wrong. It is sinful before God. And it's something that can be forgiven, because Paul said that's what some of you were. Some of you were living in that lifestyle of homosexuality, but you have come from that. You have been made alive in Christ. You have been regenerated. And that's what you were. Don't go down that pathway again. Very much like Jesus speaking to the woman caught in adultery. And she was caught in adultery, and he scattered her attackers, because they were guilty of sin too. So he scatters her attackers, and then he says to her, where are they? Where are your accusers? I don't have any. Well, then I won't accuse you either, but go and don't live that lifestyle anymore. Go and sin no more. Right? So again, it's interesting to read these arguments, these intellectual arguments that are out in the marketplace, but the devil will use the Word of God just as much as Christian will, and we have to be better at it. We have to understand what the true meaning is and how to skew it in our favor. Don't use God's Word on a particular subject and then fail to use the same letter that speaks out against a subject. The last thing that's on here, the last, I never be out of contact with Christ Jesus. Never be out of contact with it. That's prayer. You see how he says this here? Everything is wrapped up. This is also an important tool as a soldier for Christ. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You have the sword of the Spirit of God, but you are also commanded to pray in the Spirit as well. And so your communication with Christ Jesus is important. It will carry you through the day. All of these things pointing you to Christ, reminding you of Christ, and also telling you in the form of a soldier that you are to live the life of Christ as a soldier of God. And then because we're praying for all kinds of requests and for all of the saints, that last point, number four, to conclude this message, is you do not fight alone. Christ is always with us. He's with us even to the end of the age. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God promises that He will never leave nor forsake His people. We are to pray for all of the saints. Verse 18, and look how Paul even says it in the next verse 19, pray also for me. And whenever I open my mouth, the words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm an ambassador in chains, pray that I declare it fearlessly or boldly as I should. You don't fight alone. You're not in this battle alone. You're not in the war alone. We need to be together to overcome. That is the only way we will have real victory in Jesus. He saved us individually, but He's also saving us as a body corporately. And we are to be together on a regular basis, worshiping Him and learning from Him, fighting the good fight together in Jesus. Amen? Let's spend a moment here in prayer before the Lord and ask Him to search us out, search our hearts out, and help us to come to grips with what we heard this morning. And then I'll ask Kristen and Arnie to come up and close their eyes and install the benediction song. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for the good word that You have given to us this morning. All of these items here that are necessary for the battle that we're engaged in, protect us from these intellectual arguments that seek to scuttle our faith and move us over into the realm of agnosticism or atheism or into out-and-out heresy. Protect us from those intellectual battles. Also, Father, we pray that You would protect us from the emotional battles that we're having, whether it's emotional battles in our family with children or with spouses or with co-workers, wherever we are, but help us with those emotional battles to see it through the eyes of Christ and to speak as Christ and to do battle with the devil and to love those who may be speaking unintentionally His ideology, so that we might speak grace to them as grace was spoken to us. Draw us into worship as we consider these things through yourself. Point out to us, Lord, sinful attitudes and behaviors, and help us to bring those to Your throne and seek Your face for grace. And we ask this in